In today's episode, our guest Tyler does a great Lynch and Elvis, Mike claims plagiarism, Samantha can't remember any name but Paul, JJ ruined a movie theater experience, and I find out about the bucket. This is Dune, 1984 version. Get started.
I heard something crash downstairs, but I'm gonna try to ignore it.
do you want a second to go check?
Yeah, go check it out.
Go check.
No, yeah, we got time. They're just being bad.
They're just being bad. All right. Well, speaking of bad, I guess we'll talk about our film today here on Fun Sphere Movie Club. Hi, I'm Josh.
Hi, I'm Tyler.
Oh,
Steve? I'm JJ.
Oh, wait. My name's Paul.
Okay, Mike, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there. That goes. That works. And today we're talking about the 1984 epic space opera film Dune. And if you can't tell from my voice, I got things to say about this film.
Yeah.
But we are once again joined by our good friend. So, you know what? Who? Well, you said
Stanley.
Sting was here. Wait, where's Sting? I thought Sting was here.
Hold on, I gotta get in the just onesie. Hold on.
Okay. All right. No, Tyler's here with us again, and he suggested/inflicted this film upon us. So tell us about your experience with this film and why you thought human eyes had to see this again.
Oh, Dune.
JJ's having a meltdown.
JJ is.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
see, like, JJ's for real in the Dune. Yeah, okay, I'm excited to hear JJ's perspective. My feeling about Dune is I saw it at Christmas 2023, and I had just recently been on a Lynch kick. Thank you, Michael, for suggesting Twin Peaks and also providing me with Twin Peaks so that I can watch Twin Peaks, because Twin Peaks is great. And so kind of understanding the Twin Peaks, like, Americana, but also hard slant, weird David Lynch direction is, I'm excited to catch some sci-fi. And I also wanted to see some sci-fi that did not have too much CG in it.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
Just because we get a lot of it now in 2024, and I kind of want to go back on some sci-fi.
Gotcha.
So I was like, okay, Dune. Seems like a classic. It's a book. It's a long series of books. And also, like, people like Dune, so let's check it out.
Okay.
And it was strange. And it was Lynchian. But last name director, E-N. But I thought it was a very, although exasperatingly well-described, adaptation. Okay. And I was kind of here for it. I was here for the whole thing. Even the strange spice smeller in the vat. Like, that was that moment where, like, if you're not in the movie, you can turn it off now. But I'm here for it. So I thought it was decent. Thank you, David.
Okay. All right. So this was a new... Were you familiar with the Dune series, like the books, prior to watching this film? Or nothing? Okay.
I honestly had seen the Denis Villeneuve movie prior to this.
Okay.
And that is what kind of got me onto that. Okay, but there's prior Dune. Let's check out prior Dune. I love Mr. McLaughlin. Let's go.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. You know what, JJ? I think you got to start us off here, pal. You were giving us some looks and there were some reactions. So tell us your familiarity with this.
So I went to the theaters to watch this, and my mother took me, and I was able to purchase two action figures from a toy store. And it wasn't KB. I think it was called K&K Toys. I lived in Hawaii at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then so whoever sat behind me had a terrible experience because I'm sitting in a theater with my hands up playing the toys the entire film. But it was one of the coolest things I got to see. And I mean, just I had no idea what was going on. I was 6 or 7 years old.
Uh-huh.
And but from there, it was just one of those things. Even if it was a terrible movie, I don't think it's a terrible movie, but it was just super exciting to be able to be there and experience it that way. And it's always going to be close. It's like that and Howard the Duck are movies that I remember in the theaters. Nice. And
Skid loves Howard the Duck.
So I don't, maybe I shouldn't be so defensive over Dune.
No, JJ, it explains so much, my friend. It really does.
That's awesome.
So yeah. And then a couple years ago, Record Store Day, they released the Dune vinyl, and I was so excited about it. And honestly, at that time, I didn't even know that it was Toto on the score or Brian Eno.
Toto.
And just to explain to some that it's Brian Eno and Toto both on the same soundtrack is already nuts.
I'm here for it. Yeah, the music, honestly, like, the score comes in hard, and it does not stop. It adds. It doesn't necessarily subtract, in my opinion. So it's just another mode for that to just, That was great.
Okay. All right. Samantha or Michael, how familiar are you with
those? I just saw it for the first time last night.
Okay.
Again, my only experience with David Lynch is through all of Twin Peaks as well as Fire Walk With Me.
Okay. Gotcha.
But I haven't seen any of his other movies.
I know what I'm picking for my next turn.
The soundtrack and the cast were my top takeaways.
Okay.
With the movie, I loved both of them.
Okay.
I did definitely get the Lynch vibes. I can see why he has a noted style.
Yeah.
Because you can just see it in a lot of his shots. So the spice thing that you were talking about in the vat,
mm-hmm.
I was like, is that the inspiration for the mother brain in Metroid?
It could be.
There's
yeah,
so many
yeah.
Things that I thought are those inspirations for future games. Like Skyrim, I got two things, the Dark Mother and the voice, because it kind of seemed like the Dovahkiin.
Yeah.
And then he keeps doing this shot that's a water drop sequence, and I was like, holy shit, Imagine ripped that off.
Imagine Entertainment.
Yeah, Ron Howard's.
Yes, I'm sure.
I'm sure
that's exactly what Ron Howard was like. You know what? Lynch had that done pretty good. That looked pretty sweet coming up before any movie. Wow.
Let's homage it.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate how Lynch, he continues to support his cast, like like Wes Anderson does.
Yeah.
There are other directors that do it where they find people that they like and they keep them on for other projects.
Right.
Yeah.
God, what was his name in Twin Peaks? The other guy that was in this movie, not Kyle MacLachlan.
Oh, there's a couple. Yeah.
There's several guys in this
movie.
Yeah, but he was one of the good guys. But was it Hank?
Yes, it is.
The service person? Like from Twin Peaks? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was really good in this movie. I could tell, like, all the people that he kept, it was a good reason, because they stood out so much more in this movie than some of the other people. Like, Patrick Stewart, he was fine, but he wasn't really I can understand why he didn't really show up in any of Lynch's other stuff.
Well, I think he also went on to be into bigger stuff.
He's also busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, you know, he's got that whole, like, actual real Shakespearean actor type deal that he can do. So, yeah, he was a tad bit busy after this.
I was reading about that as well. I think that David Lynch was looking for a different Patrick Stewart, a guy named Patrick Stewart, and then they actually got the wrong one.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah, here, I'll see if I can find the link.
Oh, okay. Oh, that yeah. That is interesting if true. I could definitely see it, though. Could definitely.
We got Patrick Stewart. Awesome. Yeah. Who's this guy?
He's good.
This is Patrick Stewart, sir. I don't think I like him that much.
Nah, he'll stay. He's still. He's fine. He's fine. Put a mullet on him. He'll be fine. All right. Samantha.
Skullet.
My, I'm not done.
Okay. Okay.
I could not imagine watching this movie as a kid, or at least like me as a kid,
okay.
Because this was so slow and there are so many names, and I'm like this with RPGs and any kind of like fantasy kind of story. I get so overwhelmed with how like they need all these weird names, and they need you to know so many people's names. And
yep, that's why
I could do without the shield fights and the inner dialogue.
The shield fights look so cool in 86.
Yeah, I love the bubble shield look, but yeah, not a whole lot going on there.
Mm.
I think it successfully combines the most boring aspects of the distant future and medieval times.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Love that.
Fair enough.
I don't even know what I was writing here. Isle of Pugs.
Oh, yes!
Oh, yeah.
It's because there's 1,000 yeah. pugs in this film for some reason.
It's the animal of that house.
Yeah.
Of his house. They're all pugs.
Yeah.
Mm.
There's even a shot of Patrick Stewart holding a pug going into battle.
Yep.
Yeah.
So are they, like, not supposed to exist? Like, pugs?
But it's just the only dog. Like, there was no other style of dog in this world.
I will say...
I feel like the Harkonnens would not have an animal, because it already had been dead.
Oh, no. They like animals. They like taping animals to other animals and putting it in a box.
Gotta bring up the cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring up
my final note is Beetlejuice stole the worms.
Oh.
Mm. Oh, the sandworms. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think Dune is the book series is quite old, and I think it's
yes.
the inspiration for a lot.
Yes.
Just like the Foundation books are also.
Yeah, just a side note, the original Dune novel was from 1965.
Wow.
So, yeah. All right, Samantha, how familiar are you with this?
Well, I kind of knew about it for a while, but I saw it a couple of years ago because Skid wanted to watch it because he likes it. And I think my takeaway from it was... I was really like flipping back and forth on whether or not I liked it because I was very intrigued by the world and everything. And I liked how kind of like weird, like just like what the fuck is happening it was. But then also I felt like they tried to cram like what 3 books in 1 movie. And I remember thinking at the time, it'd be better split up, which is what they're doing now. So that's nice.
I thought this was just the first book.
No, wasn't it like the first 3?
I don't think so, but I will also admit I'm not a huge expert on that, but I've got more to say on that later. But I think this is literally just maybe the first novel.
You might be right, but
okay.
I swear it was like the first 1 or 2. Like I think
it could be. It could be.
But I still thought it would be better split up because like it just seems like a lot to cram into one thing. What's his face? The villain. He was so disgusting.
Harkonnen.
Like, I hated every scene with him. But I really, and like the Paul's like narration was, I remember like dunking on it when we first watched it. But then it was enough. Like I liked it enough. I was intrigued enough to want to read the books, and then I didn't. But like I wanted to know more about the world. And I think that's something, yeah. And then I enjoyed it a bit more in my second watch through. I still can't remember anybody's names because it is a lot of names.
Yeah.
Like, it took me, so like, four names. Seasons to remember more than, like, five characters' names on Game of Thrones. So, like, but, yeah, and I just really like the world.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
That they don't have any, artificial intelligence.
Yep. And okay. Yeah, that is something that's very like deep into the Dune lore. I'll say this. All right. So, let's talk about it. I just can confirm real quick. This movie is based solely on the plot of the first book.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's a huge book if you haven't ever seen it like physically. All right. So, Mike mentioned, I can't imagine seeing this as a kid. Well, guess who saw it as a kid?
JJ.
JJ did.
JJ.
But also, Josh did. And Josh, nice. Yeah, was like, huh, this movie sure is weird. Now, I'll say this. I am not a fan of Dune at all, but I have a weird, like, need to know all about it. So, I could tell you this, a couple years ago, I went to it. I was like, all right, I'm not going to read the book, but I'll watch some like film video essays that people have made about the books on these. So I get the whole lore. Right. And, I will say, as coming back to this film, I actually don't hate it as much as I was leading on. It's all right. And I'll say this, I actually like it better now that I've seen the other version of the Dune movie. God, there was a joke that the harddrive.net had. It's like the second film in the Dune series will pick up right where you fell asleep on the first one. And I was like, oh, that is accurate, because I did fall asleep watching the newest one. I found it so boring. And I think the biggest difference is and spoiler alert, guys, a lot of you may not know this. Lynch does not care for this film. He actually disavows it. When it's been...
Because it wasn't like his movie.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk about being like interference and stuff behind the
film. Now, did he do anything before this?
Yes, he had films before this.
Yeah, he had Eraserhead.
And The Elephant Man. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's like, you can see a little Lynchy stuff in it, but it's not like, it's not full David Lynch experience.
No, and you know, he did do the screenplay and he directed it, and he did a fairly good adaptation of Dune, which I think JJ will maybe be talking a little bit more on, has been a challenge for a lot of people. And actually, like, one of the biggest things I always heard about the film was that this is a film of what a lot of people in Hollywood considered something to be completely unadaptable into a major motion picture. So I'll say this. I actually really like the backgrounds and stuff like that. But the thing that always kills me, and this is with all of Dune, Dune takes itself so seriously, and all it has is this freaking like edgelord dialogue, and my name is a word that kills, and the sleeper awakens, and fear is the mind slayer, and it's like, good God, it's like, crack a fucking joke, please. I'm someone that, you know, I love Star Wars. I love how goofy and silly it is. I don't care for Star Trek, but I can respect it. But Dune, I'm just like, eh. I don't get how people like are so deep into this series and this film and stuff like that. Because it gets weird, guys. Like, you thought this first film was weird? You should hear some of the stuff that happens later. A dude turns into a giant worm. That is not a lie or a spoiler. That is kind of a spoiler.
Spoiler busted.
Yeah, sorry.
Spoiler police, we're here.
Spoiler of
a... You've also watched Attack on Titan as well.
Yeah.
Busted. Spoiler alert. Spoiler police.
Yep. But it's one of those things, when I watch this, I'm like, you've got just McLaughlin just eating every... Is it Lachlan?
He's not Sarah McLaughlin.
Oh, okay.
Kyle McLaughlin.
McLaughlin. Is just chewing up all the dialogue that he can, and it's delivered in like everything is oh so serious, and it's just, it's hard for me to enjoy the film when there's all that, because I'm like, it's not what the kids call cringe these days, but I'm like, it's pretty bad. And then there's the wacky stuff that's happening like unintentionally. You've got Sting in it. And every minute he's in it, it's just like, yeah, there's Sting. He's doing Sting stuff.
Actually, the funniest thing about this whole Duneverse,
yeah,
is that his name is Paul.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah.
A guy named Paul.
He's a guy named Paul Atreides.
Paul Muad'Dib.
Muad'Dib. Like, let's give
Space
him.
Paul.
And then he's the.
Space Paul.
He's the, what is the title he has? Is like, he's the space Jesus. It's the Hazarak something or other.
I don't know that one. Azor Ahai, something like that.
Kwisatz Haderach. There's that thing then too. So.
How did he know how to put on the uniform?
And like,
I just thought that was the right way.
Yeah. Just.
Like, it's born to him. That's how he will show up to your customs. Like, he is born with him.
Yep. And as much as I will give Lynch tons of credit, like, it is a visually impressive film, especially when you consider it's 1984. There is definitely some CGI in it, but boy, when it shows up, it sticks out like a sore thumb. Because literally, you look like a thumb when you have the shield around you. Keep in mind, Tron came out earlier than this, so yeah.
Tron didn't look that good.
I think it looked better.
Nope. Costumes, like, even costuming alone, this movie trumps like Tron in my opinion.
Okay. The fashion was a lot better. Tron looked like Tuesday nights at laser tag. You know. It is fine and all. It is good to go back and watch it, but no, I thought this one, the set pieces, everything about it was a lot better. And, you know, and I think with Lynch, I think he would have went out without all the inner monologue, without that 10-minute opening and
yes!
the slideshow.
Yeah,
you're
rough.
Like, you know, I think the producers felt like they had to force feed it to understand, which they had to do, or the movie would have been 8 hours long, which Lynch would have probably been okay with.
Yeah. And I will
give two intermissions. It's fine.
Yeah, and it's one
like
of those
Lawrence of Arabia.
And then, again, this is not something that the general film going audience in 1984 would have been very familiar with, this novel series, because it's a deep sci-fi series, and it's like, it's one of the ones that's more denser and more difficult to get into, whereas someone that's going to the cinema might have been like into Star Trek. They might have watched Star Trek when it came on. And right. Another thing is, like,
well, I mean, coming after Star Wars,
it's gonna be difficult,
even though it came before.
Yes, even though it did predate all those things. And again, also, this is
not in the movies though.
No, I know, that's wild thing. Yeah. People are probably like, this is ripping off Star Wars, but it existed before.
What was I going to say? So, yeah, they had that 10-minute, like, introduction, and I don't want to rag on it too much, because I was like, Star Wars has the screen crawl that has the story that comes up that you read, so you know the world and place you're setting in. But they had to condense so much of this, because the books are so... so dense. And also, I was like, this is one of the very first sci-fi films that really puts, it's really depressing, and it doesn't have a fun or optimistic look at the future.
No,
like it's super dark, to be quite honest, in a lot of places. And I can see why, like, this book series is one of the inspirations for Game of Thrones. Why all the interplay of the houses and the wars and stuff like that are something that inspired George R.R. Martin. I know that. But also, like I said, I did enjoy this more the second time around, especially after seeing the newest adaptation, which I can admit I did not care for. So just a real quick, who's seen the new adaptations and... Okay.
Oh, I have.
You've seen it. Okay.
Yeah, I have.
I know the other one's about to come out soon, I think. So the second part.
Yeah, we get to watch Austin Butler pretend to be Elvis in space.
Space Elvis.
He's Elvis Sting.
Oh my gosh, this is definitely a tangent, but we saw that Elvis movie, kinda. We left before it ended because it was so long and so boring. But he's got, like, Elvis brain rot and now thinks he is Elvis. So we're also watching that show on Apple about the World War II pilots, and he's basically playing Elvis in a war movie, I swear. Like, Elvis goes to war. He's doing the same accent. He's like, well, I'm still Elvis, so I hope he does the exact same thing in Dune.
Oh.
Howdy, y'all. I'm going to go get in this plane right now.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, good. Elvis did go to war and did make war films.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. He's playing, he's just like pretending to be Elvis, so I can't wait until he gets really fat and dies.
Oh, jeez.
From eating fried peanut butter sandwiches every night.
Hmm. Oh, okay. So.
It's a joke.
I got it.
About Elvis's trajectory.
All right. So, I mentioned earlier that they had been trying to adapt Dune. It looks like as early as... Oh, just real quick. Obviously, Dune comes out. It's a bomb. Not as bad as you would think, though. Grossed $30.9 million off of a $40 to $42 million budget. So,
oh, barely then.
Yeah. Really, yeah. It's...
Without marketing, it would have broke.
Yep. And like it's, and it looks like I said, there's been four versions released worldwide. Lynch has disavowed himself from the finished film and has had his name either removed or changed for certain versions.
Who directed this? No one knows.
Some dude.
Says untitled at the end of it.
Yep.
Wait, what's the JJ?
I just drew the blank on the name. Oh my gosh. Nope, not Stanley. I'm cheating, so I'm looking at my phone right now to figure out the name.
There's a name that is it just directors or
just directors
anybody can use. Okay, directors will use this name if they don't. It's like a running joke. They'll use the certain name when they don't want to be a part of the project anymore.
Like Fart Sniffington.
That's a good time. Daryl Butterbutts.
Guy Incognito.
Alan Smithy.
Alan
Smithy.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you've ever seen a movie directed by Alan Smithy, you know, someone's hiding.
All right, so I was just about to say, so like I said, they've been trying to adapt this since 1971, so that's like 7 years after it came out, the books came out, and just the first one. And a lot of people tried and failed. One I think is interesting to see here is Ridley Scott was at one point apparently attempting to bring this to it. But JJ, what was the documentary you recommended for us regarding this?
Jodorowsky's Dune?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that? Go ahead.
I was going to say, tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was just this movie that they tried to shoot for about $20 million at the time, and I think this was the late 70s. And he brought in every fashion designer at the time. He brought in Mobius, the artist, all these people with these crazy designs to make this Dune movie. And they end up writing a book that turned out to be bigger than the book itself to try to create this movie. And it just wouldn't take off. There's just no way. It was way too ambitious. Like, for example, with the Harkonnen ship that comes out in the very beginning, and then they were showing, like, oh, I want a tongue to come out of this, and then a person to walk out like it's a platform. And he was so out there. And I think a lot of Lynch's costume design kind of came from that original idea.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was just the most ambitious idea for a movie. And, yeah, it never came about.
I was going to say, and subsequent adaptation attempts have been kind of met with the same type of problems. I remember the Sci-Fi Channel tried to, like, go beyond just this movie. They had, like, I think several TV series trying to adapt.
I would love to see Sci-Fi's take on it.
It's very tame compared to Lynch's version. Like, literally, they're just using people in, like, normal, I just want to say, like, kind of like normal clothing, and like all the CGI stuff is you know, sci-fi television versions, but they
maybe
just
a Sharknado or two.
Yeah, basically they just tried to keep adapting, like I said, just the insane plot of these novels. And like, I can hear people like getting angry. I'm not trying to like to besmirch them. This guy has a huge following. Like, even after his death, his son and a really good sci-fi writer I like, Kevin J. Anderson, continued his novel works because they love this stuff. But yeah, it's just, there's just something so weird about this film. Like, and it's, I get what everybody is saying. Like, you can definitely see the Lynch isms, we'll call them, in the film and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. I think this even escaped him. Like, it was like, this is just getting too crazy even for me. And it's like, this flip flops between being like the most expensive looking film to like, they literally taped a fake rat to a cat and built a little frame around it. And it's supposed to be like a super like harrowing scene where they're trying to break the other guy's mentat. To get this stuff like that. And then...
Yeah. And it is.
It is. Oh, yeah. It's so scary. That cat is like, what the hell is going on? It's just... And then you got all the pugs running around, like Mike pointed out.
I think that's why Skid likes it so much.
Yeah. And...
It's the Atreides dog.
He's a pug fan.
Pugs should not exist. That is like... Humanity's greatest crime is our,
and yet they do so. We must care for them.
Yeah,
we must give them pets.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though they're disgusting.
Yeah,
right. They have awake apnea, not sleep apnea. They have awake apnea, bro.
But like I said, it's such of like juxtaposition on this film of like, oh, the worms are done like really, really well. And then the blue eyes looks like somebody just drew crayon over the film. For that.
Honestly, I prefer that to contacts because they still haven't perfected like putting people in colored contacts and it not looking like they're wearing contacts. Because they, you know, your pupils don't really dilate or whatever they do, but you can't see it. And so they're just like all the time.
Yeah, because their field of view is limited wearing that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Presumably.
Yeah. But to your point, Josh, you know how awesome those worms look. And then it's, all right, I got an idea. Let's have one of the people, let's have Paul climb this worm real quick. And
Oh,
no.
And it's like, or the, like, I'm thinking of like the final battle. It's like, you know, we'll slap a mullet wig on Jean-Luc Picard. We're gonna have everybody just shouting as their laser tag light system fires. Like literally, that looked just like the laser tag guns that probably me and JJ grew up playing with. And so that's all happening, and it's like, yeah, you've got the Let's have like the other army get on their little merry-go-round tank gun that fires at people. And then at the end of the film, let's have Sting, because we paid a lot of money to have Sting here, folks. Let's have him have a knife fight. I think it's wild. They settle like literally claims to a throne with a knife fight in this sci-fi
honestly,
universe.
That's how everything should be settled. All wars should just be 1v1s.
No, we agree. Yeah. That's how businesses should be. There should be succession.
That's how everything should be handled. I think.
And CEOs.
Any dispute.
Yep.
1v1.
1v1 me, bro. Gotcha.
Or maim, serious injured.
I just like that he Fusro does him at the end just to show dominance.
Yes, he does. And like Mike mentioned, yeah, there's definitely like the voice is definitely like a precursor to Skyrim's the shout and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so crazy.
So, Tyler, correct me if I'm... Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Josh.
No, I was just saw something real quick about that Jodorowsky. Is that how it's said?
I always say Jodorowsky, but I tend to add extra syllables and things. Skip a few here and there.
I saw his film was expected to become a 10 to 14 hour epic.
I wish.
My man was about to make the first miniseries.
Yeah.
That's a whole K-drama almost.
Yeah.
Well, short six to two hours.
All right. So, what was your question you had, JJ?
Oh, I was going to, so apparently, and I might be wrong on this, but I thought that I read that, Lynch was asked to do Return of the Jedi before Dune.
Okay.
And imagine if he took that role and... like what the Ewoks would be at this point, you know. But he said no, that was his thing, that was George Lucas's thing, and he took Dune instead. So, and financially it turned out to still be his most financially successful theatrical release, although it's a bomb.
That's why he hates it.
I always heard it was going to be Spielberg that was going to do Return of the Jedi, but he wouldn't because of the film guild rights, because Lucas always used British actors and people that weren't in the guild because of the credits being at the end of the film instead of the beginning, like the director's name and stuff like that is required. So I would definitely get behind a Lynch Return of the Jedi. Can you imagine Jabba's palace? Like you think Harkonnen was crazy. What would you do if like Jabba starts flying around all over the place? Or Salacious Crumb, the little like he'd probably get Sting to play Salacious Crumb.
Salacious Sting, eh?
Yeah. Just imagine Sting sitting on Jabba's lap going, ah, ha, ha, ha. That'd be great.
Yeah, we definitely missed out on that one.
Oh, you know, they talk about all the dangers of using like AI generated characters to make films and stuff like that. But imagine if we could make that happen. I think the trade off would be worth it. that's a free project, Hollywood. Let's give us all those what if scenarios if Lynch directed Return of the Jedi, or I don't know, Orson Welles was Baron Harkonnen like they were trying to do in the other one. That's wild.
That would have been great. Orson Welles as Baron Harkonnen?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, the French.
Yeah.
Ah, the Atreides.
Would have been great. Oh, wow. Okay. What else have we got to say about this film or anything like it? About it. So... I'm gonna challenge you guys now that the ones that have not seen the new version, give the new version a whirl and see if you think it's better than this. Because I'll say it, I do not. I don't think it's better at all.
I can't imagine.
I'm torn. I'm excited to see like more of the story, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just because they have more films planned, and I don't think they're going to get, unless, like, for some reason the next one, like, hella flops, I think we'll get to see. It'll be nice to, like, get to see the whole story, I guess, if that's what they're attempting to do. But I like the campiness of the 80s one a lot more. The style of it.
Yeah, Okay.
I think watching the newer version made it easier for me to watch the first one. Like, oh, this part I can go, you know, just kind of tune out or whatever, you know. So I got a better understanding of how the first one flows. But with that said, I'm excited about the part two. Okay. I think they have this new popcorn bucket that has like a big Dune worm. You get to put your hand in it.
Whoa.
Yeah, look that up. That would be worth $50. I would go over there and get it for that alone.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah. No. Well, actually, just watch. So yeah, just look at it and just imagine putting your hand in that thing. It looks disgusting, actually.
I didn't even have to type anything outside of Dune for that to show
just
up.
Give
it a suggestion.
I'm gonna search Dune it right now. Bucket. I gotta see this thing. That good, huh?
It's not the best. Not the best.
Ew. Okay, actually, this is disgusting. I was picturing something cuter. This. Sure is a sphincter.
Well, oh my god!
Yeah, this looks like it's a.
Don't you want some worm innards?
Yeah.
Oh.
Here's the mind killer at that point. Oh. Just put the hand in, go all in. Don't be afraid.
I wonder if they'll have that at the Nighthawk. See, you know, Citizen Kane always makes me think of the Cuban egg rolls. Like Cuban sandwich egg rolls that I got at Nighthawk when we watched the movie. Dune always makes me think of the cheesy tots that I had.
So apparently...
the new Dune. So
Mike, did you watch SNL last week?
Mm-mm.
No.
Apparently they've got a skit about the popcorn bucket.
Is it being used as a fleshlight?
Yeah, and I was also going to say... there also some people have made some shirts that say I'm just here to fuck the popcorn bucket.
Oh my god.
Is this the time to start marketing the new store that you all built?
Josh Brolin on the Dune popcorn bucket. I'm not putting my fucking hand in that.
I was picturing like you know how Disney World and Disneyland, they have like those popcorn buckets that are like shaped funky.
Yeah,
I was picturing like a worm on the side of it that you could as a spout, almost like a popcorn spout.
I kind
of
was
like
thinking the same thing, and then I saw this and I was like, oh, this is horrible.
But it seems like it's like hostile. It'll get the butter off your hand, you know?
Oh,
it's like I feel like a more charitable way to view this as an alternate thing is like pulling out a calf from a cow.
What
would they call this? A cussy?
Oh god.
No. Not the ussy.
Oh god. You know, so somehow when I got up today, I said to myself, Josh, we're going to talk about a game that's pretty cool and a movie that kind of grew on me. And then the popcorn bucket discussion.
JJ's fault.
Yeah. JJ, you know, first Howard the Duck and now this.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Well, I've already pre-ordered us all tickets to the show. So.
Okay. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Thanks. Just so much.
I'll get the buckets.
Oh.
I'll get everybody a bucket. I'll make sure and sign it on the side with your name on it. It'll be Josh, 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 Josh.
Yep.
And Mike. Yep. And JJ.
And JJ.
JJ, never mind.
Wow. This episode went places. It did.
As they do.
Indeed.
That they do.
Sasuga Fun Spear.
Yep. Does anybody have anything else to say? Hopefully not about the bucket, but maybe about the film or the series, anything like that.
Oh, solid film. Can't wait for the second movie. And cinema rocks.
I was going to say, did everybody get out of the shower at least once this week and like bust out the sting pose as you got out? Because we all know you did. We all know you did.
Yeah. Started my day with it.
Yep. I've done that since 84, man.
You know, I'm just surprised that Sting's acting career didn't really take off after this film. It didn't.
He didn't say a lot.
No.
And most of it was smack talk.
Yep.
That's how, honestly, I feel like we talked about the movie more than we normally do.
You know what? You're probably right, Samantha. You probably are. And we exposed everyone to the horrors of that bucket. So that's just bonus.
And I like especially its audio medium. I mean, listener can look it up.
Yeah.
But like.
If you dare.
If you, yeah. You know.
But if those shirts are being made about that bucket.
Yeah.
And if there's a promotion that it's a refillable bucket, there's going to be some problems.
Yeah. Mike.
Dune Part 3. The bucket is back.
For some reason, everyone wanted a smaller handhold? Okay. Our team made it smaller.
Oh, wow. Well, I think we're going to call it here, folks, before this gets worse.
A lot of coffee and nothing to eat.
Oh, have some popcorn. It'll help. All right.
I'm going to eat Takis.
All right. We'll say goodbye here, folks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Yeah.